Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
This is episode number 62 of Wrinkled Not Dead. Welcome. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Hello, and welcome to Wrinkled Not Dead Indeed, where wrinklednotdead.com is the source of anything to do with our program, all of our past episodes. You can also, of course, find us on iTunes, and we would appreciate ratings and comments and all the good things that you'd like to return to the program so we can continue to make this great.
And remember, caring is sharing. If you could share our podcast with your friends and family, if you see it on Facebook, you can just share it. That's how it continues to grow.
I always forget to do that.
It's really important to share.
I know. That's
actually
how you grow.
It's the most important thing.
Okay. All right. Are you all right?
No. I'm half left.
What a setup. It is the funniest thing. How come that is not the best gaffe since, like, the turn of the century. This is your granddad.
My granddad, who was in the Boer War, World War I and World War II, and would be 130-something now if he was alive. He would always say that. We'd say, "Granddad, are you all right?" And he'd say, "No, I'm half left."
There's a political statement in there somewhere.
I don't know.
I don't know. Wasn't that fun?
I know. It was just a blast from the past.
Yeah. Here's a quote. We're now starting the program with a quote that sets up what we're going to do later in the program as a featured part of the episode. And go ahead. Give it to him.
Home is where the paw is.
Oh.
Because we're going to be talking about pets on jets and traveling with pets in this episode, we thought this was a great quote to start with.
Okay, just remember, folks, that Wrinkled Not Dead is because I'm 65 and Jen is 60 years old, and we're going through trials and tribulations that anyone of our age and era are going through, and we just hope to bring you along with us. And one of the things we love to start the program with is a rose and thorn, a good thing that happened this past week, and one thing that may not have been good, but somehow comes out as an inspiration, right?
I agree.
May I begin?
You must.
All right. My rose is my brothers all seem to be enjoying the summer, which I think is great. Now, last week, as you certainly will remember, we talked about social media overload and what can happen with the explosion of social media. But I have to say, this is one great way to share what's going on with my brother Gord, who's out in British Columbia, my brother Ron, who's in Calgary, Alberta, and my brother Glenn, who's in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And so that's a really wonderful thing. And I'm certainly not overloaded by anything like that. It's just wonderful to see them having a great summer. My thorn is our sister-in-law, Cindy, who is married to my brother, Fred, who passed on some years ago. Well, sadly, although he was a very advanced age, Cindy's dad passed. And they're very religious people. And they had a beautiful ceremony. And his passing was marked extremely well with a thought for the future for Cindy. And it's already taken place. Cindy went to the Vatican and met the Pope.
Yeah, we went online
on Facebook.
And there she is, hand in hand, shaking the Pope's hand, and the look of just
sheer bliss
on Cindy's face. God bless you. It was just wonderful.
Wasn't it great?
Oh man, it blew me away.
I mean, it must have been the event of her lifetime.
Absolutely, almost made me cry.
Yeah. I've heard people say that it did make them cry, that we've talked to listeners of ours. Isn't it amazing?
Amazing. Uh-huh. Wow. What a time.
So, what have you got for a rose?
Well, my rose was, I got these wonderful little gifts and flowers and chocolate, which I love, and a bottle of wine from Lauren and Michael. Lauren Everts is our goddaughter, and Lauren and Michael are from the Skinny Confidential, him and her podcast.
Right.
And they were delivered by their dear sister, Mimi, who is a more
personal assistant extraordinary.
Incredible friend to us, too. Yeah, just a lovely young lady. And I have to tell you, it just picked my spirits up because I'd cut my finger and, you know, there'd been a lot of stuff going on this week.
Mm-hmm.
And man, for her to think about that with her busy schedule and Michael, too, they're both so busy, to put together this little package, it really made a difference.
White roses, they're still going.
They're still going. It changed my whole way of thinking. So I guess what I'm saying out there is if you can do that for somebody, it doesn't have to be a lot of things, just a little thing. or just even a phone call, it really makes a difference. It really helps someone out of the blues, because we all get the blues.
Yeah, and it, you know, I mean, there's always stumbling blocks along the way, but somebody who reaches out is
it was God amazing. Bless them. So thank you, Lauren, yeah. Michael, and Mimi.
Yeah.
And the thorn was for me was I had 4 doctor's visits because I had to go back for my finger that
yeah,
I cut.
I know.
And it was just, you know, I have to go back and forth and back and forth. But anyways, and then the fourth, the final one was I had my annual skin cancer check, which I'm never usually that worried about because I don't go out in the sun, but you just never know. And you mm-hmm. don't want one more thing to pile up.
Oh, I know.
And so out of that, I have to say that I didn't have any skin cancer. She said I had great skin.
This is Dr. Marriott, our
skin so doctor. Once again, reminder durable. That once a year, go get your skin checked because
yes.
skin cancer is highly curable
yes.
if caught early. And number two, it's something to celebrate when they say you have great skin at the age of 60.
She did, didn't yeah. she? But mind you, this, you know, Dr. Marriott, God bless her, she has tremendous skin herself. I mean, she's just a year or two younger than you are. And she's from Sweden originally, and her skin is like flawless. She's
and she actually told me about yeah. a soak for my finger to help kind of clear it up, too.
And
so
it's working.
It's working. So a lot of good things.
I know.
See how good things come out of thorns?
Yeah, I agree. I got a fun fact for you.
Okay.
A fun fork for you? Who forked that fact? Okay. All right, this is a big setup here for what's coming uh-huh. up next. This forked fact is the best estimate in our world. There are approximately 32 million owned dogs, 32 million owned dogs, and perhaps as many as 20 million stray dogs.
Wow.
I am surprised.
Although I'm not, but I am. It's, you know, I never really thought about it. And then we started doing all this research about traveling with pets.
Yeah.
Because we recently came back with my mother's dog, Emma.
Right. And that's what got us going on this tangent for this podcast.
Exactly.
And we've been waiting to do this for a little while, too, because we wanted to have great information, so we had to do some research. But also, because of the extraordinary later development of bringing Emma, not only internationally via the ground, over the border, but all across the country, from Buffalo, New York, to San Diego, California. So we're going to share our personal experience.
Exactly. Emma, we rescued her from the Humane Society in mm-hmm. Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada for my mom 6 years ago when my mother's dog passed away. And Emma's a little toy poodle.
Mm-hmm.
And we got very lucky. And my mother loved her and has been able to take care of her very well up until the point of this year when my brother could no longer take care of her and my mother had gone into a nursing home. So my mother, with her blessing, we went and brought back little Emma. And this is what we kind of found. The first thing I had to do was make sure that she was up to date on all her shots, her vaccines.
Uh-huh.
Even though maybe you don't want your dog vaccinated, you cannot really bring them across an international border without a certificate of vaccine. That's just the way it is.
Yes.
Unless there's some kind of medical reason why the dog cannot have the vaccine, and then you have to have a letter of that. So basically, what I went to the vet, and there was a photograph on this certificate, and
wow.
it had all of her. So, you know, this is the dog. This is what she looked like. She had to have a certificate medal on her little collar that showed that she had had her rabies vaccine
oh.
and everything else. So everything was up to date. So that was done well in advance. So we had all of our paperwork in advance.
So the vets were kind of aware of what was necessary.
Absolutely.
It wasn't some big hunt and peck thing that they
not at all
experienced this before.
Correct. And Emma had been going to see these vets on a regular basis, and I told them what was happening, and they made sure everything was taken care of beforehand.
Right.
Then second, I had talked to them about, can I give Emma a tranquilizer or anything like that before going on an airplane, just because she's never traveled on a plane, and she was going to come on the plane physically with us under
mm-hmm.
our seat.
Mm-hmm.
And they said no, because altitude affects the pet's
differently system. Just
correct.
Like alcohol does for humans.
Exactly. Yeah. So they said no, the best thing to do is to just kind of get her used to being in a carrier. So I went to a pet store and I found out it's called Sherpa, and I got this carrier that was approved. However, we were going on Southwest Airlines. I called in advance and made sure that that was an approved carrier, and it was a soft-sided carrier. And so for the entire 10 days I was there, I slowly got Emma used to being in the carrier.
Was it tough at first?
Very tough.
Because I wasn't there yet.
Very tough. I would put her in for like 5 minutes and then bring her out and give her a treat.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I would go 10 minutes and bring her out and give her a treat. And then I would go a little bit longer. And then I would go to the point where I would put her in and zip her up she could see out because there's mesh all around these things. There's mesh on the top, mesh on the side, and all that. And then I started carrying her in it. So that went on for 10 days, and she slowly got used to it.
This is an enormous commitment.
If you're going to do it right, it is.
I mean, really, this is something.
If you're going to do it right, it is.
So, but this is for a final and permanent move. We'll be discussing, you know, people who are going on vacations and taking their dog or their cat or their one pet along with them as well. But has to be said that, first of all, the guy at the border, and my hands were sweaty, yours weren't too.
Well, I was nervous about, we've never traveled with a dog with us.
Yeah.
And I was nervous if she'd start barking, if she would lunge at the immigration.
Oh, I know,
customs and immigration guy, or, you know, you think of all, we talked about this before, you worry about, I mean, I lost sleep over all of this.
I know.
I thought, is she going to like cause a ruckus on the plane or whatever? But tell the story.
The preparation was everything. So you are a prepared person. We get into the car. Emma's fine in the car. We drive down from Niagara Falls to over the Peace Bridge, which is such a beautiful thing, right? There's two flags right there.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. So we get to the actual kiosk, and there's, you know, fumes of vehicles because it's a busy border crossing. And we are nervous about this. All the paperwork's all piled up, all of our own documents open to the right page of our passports, everything else. We get there, and it's a very nice young man from the United States, of course, being one of the officials there. And basically sort of said, welcome to the USA. He did, hardly looked at stuff, but he looked at us. I think these guys are so well trained, they know when to press the button and have, you know, a wand come in underneath the car for bombs. They know what to do this, and they know a couple of older people who are just trying to do the right thing. But, okay, can I tell
with
a kicker?
With a toy poodle.
Can I tell a kicker about, okay.
Yeah.
You had rented the car.
In Buffalo.
New York. The car had California license plates.
I know. Can you believe it?
Can you? Yeah, of course. You go into Canada, you do the driving around, we go back across the border, and we say, where's your destination? San Diego, California. What? You drove all the way here? What's with the license plate?
I know,
it was so weird. Everything after that went so beautifully. It was wonderful.
Well,
no.
I think it was because here's two old people sitting with a toy poodle on their lap with a little bow in her hair. So,
I know.
But the thing is that you do need to be prepared because
yes,
we could have got a customs agent who wanted to see everything.
Absolutely.
And to make sure you're not stealing the dog. And I mean, you really have to think ahead.
The ramifications of not being prepared are dire. You want to be turned away at the border? No.
And another thing, don't forget, remember, we had to stay in a hotel the night before we left for the airplane the next day, because the plane left at like 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Yeah.
And Mike had to call around and find out pet-friendly hotels. And we found the Holiday Inn by the airport was very pet-friendly.
They were.
But you have to let them know in advance, and you have to pay a fee.
Yes.
And so be prepared for all of that, including we had to buy Emma a ticket on Southwest, and I believe it was like $95.
$90
or $95 one way. So you need to call way in advance for that because, I'll let you know, they only allow so many pets per flight.
Right.
So,
but they were very cordial about this, you have to say.
Extremely.
Southwest. So we get there. Emma goes through. We're at the airport. No problem. Pay the money. Everything's set to go. Now we're on the aircraft. How were the crew?
I say let's back up little bit. People are going to say, well, how did you go through security with her?
Yes,
okay.
Of course. All right,
so
I'm sorry.
So you have to take your pet out of the carrier because I had her in that mesh carrier.
Right.
And you hold her in your arms and you walk through the X-ray with her. Never, ever put your pet on that belt that goes through with your luggage.
Oh, no.
You know, your hand luggage and everything that you do? No. You pick your pet up and you walk through with your pet in your arms because that X-ray with your luggage is different than the one that you walk through yourself. And this is a live animal. So carry your pet through. Everything went great there.
TSA was very cordial about
TSA
it, too.
TSA was very good. We had our paperwork out just in case. Nobody still didn't want to see the paperwork, not even when we went to the ticket counter. If we go
You're
back
waving
a bit.
The picture around. And
however, we had it. And then, before we boarded the airplane, Emma needed to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
She had to go to the bathroom. Well, just to let you know that many of these airports do have pet rest areas, which I never knew about until I started looking it up. And they're really cool. Many of them are inside. But the one in Buffalo, New York, was one of the few that were outside. So tell us what we had to do.
Well, the very nice gate attendant said, well, look, when we get close to time to load, let me know and I'll walk you out. And I thought, what? And she literally meant that. She took her card, her code card. We went down the stairs, out of departures, down onto the tarmac.
Where the airplanes are. I mean, honest to God, there's, you guys.
There's fuel stench in there. There's the little truck that's pushing the...
The captain's going around making sure the aircraft was... And there was this, like, okay, you know, inspecting their aircraft like they do outside.
Yeah. And there's some astroturf laid over in a corner. She says, well, it's kind of basic here, but this will do the job. Emma, of course, bam, that was it.
Went, and that was it.
Well, I'm sure she was encouraged to get back into the terminal as we were. You know, it was like chaos down there. Those guys really work hard on, you know, loading up aircraft and the luggage people and all that. So, you know, you look at the different airports around the world, and the facilities are very different. But you can't say one thing nasty about how nice they were.
Very
about
nice.
It from Southwest.
Very nice. So that worked out just
yep.
fine. So don't be worried about that. But make sure your pet does have relief before getting on the plane. Because
yeah.
you don't want the pet to be upset because it needs he or she needs to go to the bathroom.
And then we're on the aircraft.
I had to put Emma underneath the seat before takeoff, which she wasn't too happy about. But one thing, guys, you can do is kind of go down with your hand and sort of let them sniff your hand through the little
the mesh
that
right.
I talked about
right.
and just say, it's okay, Emma, it's okay on takeoff. And then they're okay. As mm-hmm. long as they know you're there, you know, make sure because they can just see your feet. So don't ignore them. Give your pet, you know, love while takeoff, because you can imagine the sound of takeoff and the rumbling to dogs or cats
yeah.
or
oh,
any
yeah.
pets where their hearing is many times stronger than ours.
Right. I agree with you. Now, what we did is we put you with Emma on the window.
Correct.
I sat in the center seat just in case, just to be, you know, polite to anybody else who's going to be in the same row. And we, when the person, the nice fella, sat beside us, said, hey, we have a dog with us. Are you going to be okay with that? Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so let them, if it was Southwest, there's three seats across
right.
the aisle, three seats. So let the person know that's coming in that you have a pet, just so they don't get upset. And Mike kind of created a barrier for me, so I had the window and Emma under.
Mm, that's
but
right.
all went very smoothly.
That went extremely well. We took off. Everything is great. Shall I tell them what was going on across the aisle?
Well, we think we saw a famous, we won't
yeah,
say who it is, but
we
think we
dog.
Saw a famous dog, and this dog was not put underneath the seat on takeoff. Now, I don't know why, but we did see the mother, the mom, the owner, put a blanket over herself and the pet,
mm-hmm.
the little tiny, teeny, tiny Pomeranian,
yeah.
on takeoff to calm the pet down, which I thought, wow, that's a great idea.
They'd obviously done this before.
They'd obviously done it before.
Her husband or boyfriend.
Exactly. And so I thought, okay, we're airborne. And I thought, well, maybe I can just let Emma kind of come out onto my lap.
Yeah.
And so I let her come out and sit on my lap. And the flight attendant came by and we asked and they said, yes, as long as you keep your pet quiet, it's okay. Which I understand a lot of airlines will not do.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a lot of Southwest flights won't do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying on this particular one, they let Emma sit on our lap as long as we had a blanket. You cannot let the pet sit
on the seat.
On the seat without a blanket.
That I had no idea about.
Yeah.
So that was easily done. And I think you're right. I think it's up to the discretion of the flight attendants. And of course, whatever they say, if they want the dog back in the crate under the seat, that's what's going
to
happen.
You have to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
But we got lucky. We got home. She sat on my lap the whole way. When we went to Las Vegas Airport, there's this most beautiful pet rest area.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually walk your dog on the leash through the entire airport, which
mm-hmm.
we didn't know.
Great.
And the little pet rest areas are everywhere. Now I'll start seeing them because I'm used to...
The theory of reflection.
Yeah, tell them what they look like inside.
Yeah, oh, gosh. I mean, the place was like an operating theater, for heaven's sakes. It was so clean, antiseptic. They had a sink. They had little bags for waste. They had soap for you to wash your hands in. They had an enclosure with AstroTurf in it with so that they could hose and rinse it down with a big drain. And they had a fire hydrant.
Yeah, a fake fire hydrant.
I loved it. I thought, and now, you know, every time we go to an airport, we will never fail to see that sign that said
pet rest area.
Rest area. Oh, my gosh.
So it's not as difficult as you think if you can bring your pet on board. Of course, it's a little more difficult if you can't. So we're going to go into a little more
yes.
depth on...
So that's the story. That's our personal story.
Personal story.
That does cover a lot of what the Humane Society of the United States has to say in the information that we looked up. But there are a whole bunch of little nuggets in here that people should know before they start the process.
I wanted to say one more thing. I'll bring a little tiny bowl or a bowl and water on the plane, because Emma did get quite thirsty because it's very dry. So don't forget, just because you need water, humans need water, so do pets. I just want to tell them that.
I just have a feeling the flight attendants would have taken care of it.
Well, probably. And and remember the flight attendant in Las Vegas? She had some relaxing oils.
Oh, yeah.
Tell that story.
Oh, this gal, what a beautiful woman, too. One of the flight attendants came by and we said, "This is Emma." And she says, "Is she disturbed in any way?" "No, not too bad. But, you know, it'd be nice if she'd relax all the way." "I'm ready for this." And she went back up to the bulkhead, came back with this wonderful, wonderful oil.
Essential
mm-hmm. oil, and kind of waved this stuff around. And I have to say that everybody, all the humans, the dogs, the one across the aisle from us, everybody's going, "My gosh, that is good. What is that?" So subsequently, we have her card.
Yeah, and she said when there's like unruly children, all of a sudden she comes around with it on her hands, and she says, "Hey, calm down." So it's amazing who you meet when you travel with a pet.
Yeah, that's right. You make instant friends.
You sure do.
She was a beautiful lady. We loved her. So here's some stuff from the Humane Society of the United States. So this is different. I didn't know this. Air travel can be particularly dangerous for animals with like the pushed-in face, bulldogs, pugs, Persian cats. Their short nasal passages leave them especially vulnerable to oxygen deprivation and also to heat stroke. That's just odd. I had no idea, but that's
interesting. I actually did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And consider alternatives to flying if you can. If you could drive, that's a better option.
Yeah.
Or if you can afford a pet sitter in your own home, that's even the best. Or boarding. Find a really good kennel. I found a good kennel temporarily for Emma before I got to Canada to bring her back. And they were very, very nice. And you can call every day. So I understand that when you need to travel like we did to actually transport Emma back permanently.
Yeah.
But if you don't, try to find alternatives, because it truly is a lot easier.
Hell, we'd have driven back. we'd have had the time. So most airlines will allow you to take a dog or a small dog on the cabin, and it is for the additional fee. Most, I haven't seen one that does not have one. $90 seems pretty reasonable to me, but you got to call in advance, like Jen said. You got to let them know, because it is limited, and I don't know what the limit number is. I think it varies from airline to airline. But make sure that the size requirements are met. But that's easy, because everybody who's out there who sells carriers will say this is an approved one, because there must be some consistent regulation that goes through many countries. So that you can take up pretty simply.
Well, and I do know that the pet needs to be able to turn around in a carrier, not necessarily stand upright, but be able to stand up enough to turn around.
Okay.
Yep. That's very important.
All right. So we have questions that this was I love these bullet points from Humane Society. We'll post this on the blog, by the way,
on wrinklenotdad.com.
The salient stuff. So number one, will the airline allow you to take your cat or small dog in the cabin with you? So you have to ask that.
Does the airline have any special pet health records requirements, which we had in advance?
Yeah. Does the airline require a specific type of carrier? Again, most of the folks who sell these things are not dumb. They want you to be able to buy one, and they're not that expensive. I thought there was going to be more money than it was.
Yeah, and I also found out that on Southwest, but I'd already bought a carrier, but Southwest will sell you a carrier, and they can get it to you in a day.
So you're calling the airline, and they say, no, you can't take the dog in the cabin.
Too now, big, like a big, husky or
it's
whatever.
It's too big, or they just don't do it, or whatever. Now you have to deal with the cargo hold, and we have done that in the past.
We have with my mother's other dog.
Yep. So take precautions when you're bringing them through airport security. Well, we had that one. That was so easy. I mean, I'm sure that it can be more difficult, but TSA seems to have this thing dialed in, because in my eye anyway, many more dogs and cats are traveling with their owners than ever I have ever seen before in my life.
Except, again, if it's a large pet and you have to put the pet in the cargo, which my mom has done before. She had a Doberman and some big dogs. Now, you have to understand that a lot of times, not a lot, but there have been animals that have been killed in flight. They died because of excessive heat or whatever. So if you have to put your dog in the hold of an airplane, there are certain months out of the year that they can fly. Because think about it.
Yeah.
That dog has to sit out on the tarmac before it's put into the hold, and you need to make sure that that hold is air controlled, if it's temperature controlled.
Temperature controlled, although also pressure controlled, but that goes without saying.
Pressure controlled and all of that, and very important, very important. And do you want to go into when they go into this?
All I want to do is just hit these points where use a direct flight where you can, because that's going to eliminate the problem of your dog being sitting there like we experienced in Buffalo, out there on the tarmac, where it's like incredible noise, incredible everything, and you're in the elements.
Exactly. And if you can be on the flight with your pet, that's great. Travel on the same flight as your pet and ask the airline to watch your pet being loaded into the cargo.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does. And tell everybody on the plane that you can. I've got a pet in the
This I didn't think of. You can notify the captain through the flight attendants that, hey, you know, I've got a dog. It's underneath there. And sometimes there are things, I don't know what they are, but there are measures that first officers and captains and flight attendants can take, knowing that there are animals in the hold below. So I like that.
And no Pekingese dogs, bulldogs, Persian cats, as we talked about before. Any cat or pet or dog with a pushed-in snout.
If they've got a collar, remember you had that the immunization tag, all that other kind of stuff. Remember, the dog's going to be wearing the collar or the cat or whatever, and you don't want it to get stuck in the carrier. So be very aware that that's there.
Early morning or late evening flights are better.
Makes sense.
Because of the heat and the travel. You just don't want to go at peak travel times, because generally the planes, as you know, are delayed.
Mm-hmm. One of the regulations and we went to Los Angeles to do this.
Yes,
remember?
We did.
You put a big old label on the carrier, which has got all the pertinent information. So, I mean, God forbid the dog is supposed to be going to Toronto and ends up going to Shanghai, that there's something going on.
Well, and they said to make the note personal.
Oh,
like,
did they?
Yeah. Like what I did was, hi, my name is Sheena, and I'm a 7-year-old white toy poodle.
Okay.
Will you please take good care of me? I'm blah, blah, blah. And you make a little note on top of that, and you stick it on top of the carrier or whatever. I'm a Doberman or whatever the dog may be.
Yeah.
And then when the handlers are putting the dog on, they read that note.
Yeah.
And then they kind of get connected to the pet.
We even saw them do that in Los Angeles.
Yes, we did.
Hi, Sheena.
Yeah.
Hi, Sheena.
Yeah.
That was really kind.
Yeah.
You know, these are guys, these people are busy, and so it was a sweet little thing.
Absolutely, very nice. So make it personal.
That's a good idea. Okay, here's one. Make sure your pet's nails have been clipped. Huh? Just you want to protect them from getting hooked in the carrier.
And before I forget, too, don't put a big old blanket in there that they can get too hot or hooked up in. They want a pad on the bottom of the cage that's sort of heavy, but it's soft enough.
Mm-hmm.
Something that doesn't get caught up.
Well, we talked about this earlier, but the suggestion about the tranquilizers, I don't know how I feel about all that. Do you?
No, most vets will not give tranquilizers. They just won't. So.
Oh, really? So they are. I used to think that all this happened
frequently,
all the time.
I understand you can get some kind of herbal thing at the pet store, but then again, still check with your vet, because you cannot be, you know, you just have to be very, very careful.
I mean, if after all this work, you don't want anything bad to happen, do you? So don't feed your pet for 4 to 6 hours before the trip. However, a little bit of water. And there was a great tip that we got about this for about the water, too.
Yeah, what we did was we put ice cubes in the tray. But I'll tell you how we did it. We took the ice cubes up in a, what do you call it?
A thermos.
Like a thermos, yeah. So they kept like ice.
Yeah.
And when we took the dog to the cargo place, we put the ice cubes in at the very last minute. Back then, they let us go into the cargo and be there with her and put the ice cubes in at the very end. So you don't want them falling out. Why you don't put water in? Because the water's just going to spill out. And then the dog has to sit in a cage that's wet.
Oh, yeah. It makes complete sense. Yeah, they let us into the cargo.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We remember when.
Yeah. Try if you can, and more likely this is not going to be easy. Try not to travel at the busy, busy times. They're likely to undergo a lot more rough handling or stress than, you know, if it's the Thanksgiving weekend or something like that, you know.
And then a current photograph for your pet. Now, we had a current photograph because now this particular vet we went to with all her vaccines had the picture of Emma. And so that all has to be taped to the top of this cargo cage that you're going to put this pet in.
Yeah.
When you put them in the cargo hold. So all of that goes on top, including you tape on there kibble, food.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, just in case.
Just in case something happens and the plane goes somewhere else or the dog goes somewhere else and it misses its flight or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. That remember that they said that the food was in that little kind of carrier.
And the final,
just in case.
Final point they make, and this is not difficult to understand, and when you arrive at your destination, get a safe place and examine your pet as quickly as possible. Well, we'd be clambering in yeah. into the cage to do it ourselves. Anyway, if anything seems wrong, take the pet to a veterinarian, but make sure that you get in writing the time and the date of the incident, just in case there's something that the airline can help you with.
Yeah,
that.
So good luck. I mean, it's not easy.
Doesn't it sound awful?
It sounds overwhelming,
it does sound awful.
I have to say when we brought Emma back on Southwest, it was a piece of cake.
That's right. But, and really, overall, shipping Sheena from L.A. to Toronto wasn't that bad either.
So prepare, and prepare.
Or maybe it's just because we're old and our memories fade really fast.
I don't know. Let's
go on to Jen. First of all, remember all this stuff, and there was a lot of it. I'm sorry. I hope it didn't get too detailed for non-pet lovers, but it'll be over on wrinklednotdead.com. Jen's Health Minute.
All right. I found out that the thing that they put on my finger when I cut it was betadine.
Yeah.
And remember the old days when your parents used to use like iodine? I think it was iodine back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And it stung like hell.
Oh, yikes.
But this is a combination. It does have a little bit of iodine. Iodine actually came out in 1811.
Wow.
And then the betadine first aid solution came out in 1955. So it's an old remedy even at the betadine level. And a small amount of iodine, as I said, in it, but it rapidly kills bacteria, viruses, and fungus that cause wound infections. And it's so inexpensive.
Yeah,
it's
cheap.
$13 for an 8-ounce bottle. And it's one of the best ways for killing bacteria.
It's an orangey looking stuff.
Yeah, so check it out. We'll have it on our blog.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So absolutely. That's one of the things that should be in the medicine chest. And that's Jen's Health Minute in a nutshell. So we'll move on to time off.
Oh, I like this one.
I know, you do, don't you?
Yes.
I know, it's never hard to find things that are time off. Well, summer books, okay. Remember, last week, if you joined us for social media overload, we went into all of that kind of stuff. Well, there's a book that just coincidentally came out about this called The Circle by Dave Eggers. And it pretty much defines social media overload to the max. It starts with people interacting in wonderful ways and kind of they shadowed, and I think they alluded to this might be like Google is going to take over the world, including
one of those.
The government.
Yeah.
So they knew more and more and more information about you. And the people who worked on the campus of this Google-esque company got more and more and more and more involved in what they were doing and seeing themselves as basically saviors of the planet. Well, that was all great, except now, you know, people's privacy became at the tipping point. And so the good part of the book, and it was, you know, it wasn't a great book, but it was a good book, was that obviously there are some people who did not want the government or Google or anybody poking into their private business. And they kind of formed two countries at the end. There were people who did not want to be served by intimate knowledge of their DNA and the causes of this or that disease, and they didn't want to be helped by this or that or have their groceries booked by services and all this kind of stuff, and they just basically moved away. And then there were the others that couldn't figure out, why are you so dumb? Why wouldn't you want this to be done? So it was sitting there right on the edge of the social media overload thing, so it was worth a read, The Circle.
What is the name of the book?
The Circle by Dave Eggers.
And it's Eggers,
correct?
That's okay, correct. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, mine's a little bit simpler than that.
Yeah, yeah. Did I go on? Yeah, I guess.
I was thinking about a friend of mine, and her name is Elaine. You know who you are. And I've been meaning to reconnect with her for some time. We've both been very busy, too busy, too busy, too busy. And finally I said, you know what? Life is too short. Shut up, Jennifer. Sit down and call your dear friend. I did. She happened to be in Canada taking care of her mother. Mm-hmm. But we had the best conversation. And it's those friends who you don't talk to for a while and you reconnect. And it's like you've been talking daily.
Yeah,
that
I
are
know.
So special.
Instant connection again.
So, you know, think about a friend you haven't connected to. Pick up the phone, the actual telephone, and give them a call.
Remember when you could slam the phone down? God.
This was, yeah, we were talking about it. Remember when? Remember the big old phones with the rotary dial and the heavy handle?
Made out of Bakelite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you get upset, or I'd be upset at a boyfriend, and I go, I'm done with you. Slam.
And there was a very satisfying clunk.
There was.
But
there
now.
But now, there's an end call, and it's just dead.
Dead. There's no satisfaction to this whatsoever, right?
Yeah, but we took that remember when, and remember when we had the wall phone?
Yes.
With the super long spirally cord, and if I was talking to my boyfriend, I would take that phone handle, and I would go down in the basement. You'd see this long cord going down, the door trying to close, but it can't because the cord was so big.
Too thick.
Yeah, so remember, we were thinking about rotary dial phones.
Our house had a phone shrine.
Oh, it did.
In the hallway, in the middle of the home, dead center in the home, there was a niche where the blessed phone sat.
Hung on the wall.
Hung on the wall. Gosh.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It doesn't even seem possible that we live in an age that's so different from that.
Boy, so we came from that to this with personal cell phone
with
devices.
iPhone 18,000.
No wonder
we
go in overload. But hang in there, because you know what? It's worth it. That's what brings us here to talk with you today. And I hope you learned a lot about traveling with your pets.
Well, I have a quote from, it tends to be going back to the animals.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. When I look into the eyes of an animal, I do not see an animal. I see a living being. I see a friend. I feel a soul. A.D. Williams.
Well, I have one. Mm-hmm. In life, it's not where you go. It's who you travel with.
Travels with Emma. There's a book for you.
Travels with Emma. Dear. Good luck. Have a safe flight. Bon voyage. Relax. It'll all go fine. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.